Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Max was saying, get contact. I said, if I showed up one day with green eyes, I would look very weird. I'd have to be born with green eyes.
Saying game would be over, though, if you had green eyes? I thought the game was over now.
No, the game is over. I'm just saying if I was born.
It would enhance. It's like Steph's legacy. It would only enhance and go up from there.
You know, I was born with green eyes, obviously I'd look different. But I'd be just, ooh.
Ooh. You do look like, your look-alike is like a Larry Johnson.
And if I was.
You got a Larry Johnson.
I don't have a Larry Johnson.
If you put a part down the middle of your hair, it's grandmama. You got the frame. You built like you
know
play
what?
Like
when you just smile, but he needs a gap in his tooth.
He put a little gap right there, though. That's how you, it's grandmama.
I'm more of anything. I'm probably a younger version of Chris Webber.
You can't tell people who you look like. It don't work that way.
I just
we had to tell you who you look. No,
I do. No, you can't. I want to do
it. You don't control the content here,
Jay. Probably Chris Webber. Never got Larry Johnson. Maybe Chris Webber.
Way more Larry Johnson than you. Thick neck, Larry.
Game right, six microwave. Of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night. ESPN Radio and ABC coverage begins at 8.
Mookie Blaylock.
Why are you getting so sensitive?
Guys, we've been talking a lot about... I'm trying to get it in before, you know. Mookie Blaylock.
He just be coming over random small people. That's what this man does. It's okay. You saying anybody small.
Mookie Betts, Muggsy. Does that work too? Betts
is pretty small.
No, I didn't say anything about it. I just said when you, Vinny Microwave, remind me of Jay. That's all because Jay used to fill it up. And Jay took it as a slice.
He didn't say that at
Spud
first.
Spud Webb.
Like, he didn't say that
like
at first.
A little pit
he said,
bull.
Yeah, he's like bulky. Yeah,
like
bulky,
a little pit bull. Jay was like
and
a little
pit
bull.
Then it went to like, oh yeah, shooter, great shooter. I'm like, no, don't try to lighten it up. It came with a jab at first. See?
Sometimes you're a little defensive, like when Vince Carter's on the
Max,
show.
Sometimes you
are a little defensive.
You're like a badass little kid who's an instigator. That's who you are.
Well, that may be true. I resemble that remark. But the point is, Vince
you resemble
Carter.
Resemble that remark?
Yes.
You resemble?
Yes.
Or you resent?
No, I resemble it.
Game six of the NBA Finals is tomorrow night. ESPN Radio and ABC coverage begins at 8.
So, we're talking a lot about...
Really? That's what we do for a living.
About Steph Curry. And you guys feel, it seems to me, like his legacy is pretty much set. I think there's movement there based on what happens in these finals. So, we've been talking a lot about Steph's legacy.
It's fluid.
There may be, though, we may have overlooked, and in fact, the entire sports media may have overlooked, and let us be, therefore, the first ones to now do it. Set the trend, as always.
First on the record.
That's right.
Everybody else will start talking about it after.
To ask, is there another all-time great who might move into the top 10 if they're not there already, or maybe even increase their standing in the top 10 in their profession in basketball? And that is Steve Kerr. Is he an all-time great coach? I think we agree he is. Where is he? Is he already a top 10 all-time NBA coach? Could he possibly move up the list with a finals win? Jay, where does he rank?
So we call this G-Coats, right? Greatest coaches of all time, G-Coats. So I have two. I try to do this in a Keyshawn Johnson-like manner. Instead of giving you numbers, I give you tiers, right? Some people are hanging on to an edge of a tier, as Key describes it. So tier one, I have Phil Jackson's the GOAT, man. I mean, 11 NBA champions. He's the king of the three-peat, triple three-peat. He's the highest regular season winning percentage ever at 70%, and he has a whopping 1,155 wins, right? That's who it is. Red Auerbach in that tier one, okay? Nine-time NBA champion. His winning percentage, 66%. The guy won 8 titles in a row in Beantown. Tier one. Tier two, I got Greg Popovich. That speaks for itself. 5-time NBA champion. three-time NBA Coach of the Year, guided the Spurs to the playoffs for 22 straight years. Also, Pat Riley, five-time NBA champion, four titles with the Lakers, one title with the Heat, coached the best of the best. And then my tier three, I have Steve Kerr at the top of tier three, right? You think tier three is interesting because I got guys like Eric Spoelstra, Larry Brown, Chuck Daly, Casey Jones, Red Holzman, Jerry Sloan, even though he didn't win a championship, all-time winning percentage and wins are really, really high up there. But if Steve Kerr wins his fourth NBA title, his winning percentage matches the elite of the elite, right? You have to think he's going to coach for a while. He's still relatively young in the coaching game. At the end, like it, to me, that cracks tier two. He's now in the tier two conversation with the likes of Pat Riley and Pop. He's still not Pat Riley or at the top. Like, he's below those guys, but he's entering that conversation.
See, yeah, no, and you got a good list. I know you're missing somebody. I just can't pinpoint it right off the top, right? You're missing somebody, and that somebody will come to me over the next couple hours. But your list is cool. Pat Riley, though, at tier two.
Agreed. Like, where I was going to go.
It's not even about a Laker thing. It's about just let's go to the Lakers. He won championships there. But the coldest thing I ever seen in sports, I'm going to come down out of the stands and win a championship. You can't do it. You know what, man? Let me come down second half of the season and go put this thing together
with
a championship.
But actually, I want to talk about
– that was cold-blooded, man. Okay, right?
I struggle with Pat right there. Him as an executive and –
He came down out of the bleachers.
I want to convince you because I could see you're on the fence with Pat Riley that it belongs in tier one. The like guys like Phil Jackson, when he's won 11 rings, but he had Jordan and Pippen and Grant and then Rodman and then Kukoc and then later on Shaq and Kobe. I'm not saying anyone's going to win as many championships as him, but and then Pat, he's tier one, no doubt. Red Auerbach the whole time in Boston Bill Russell, but let me just make the Pat Riley argument. Pat Riley, four in L.A. Then he goes to the Knicks. He had him in the finals. He had him in game six, John Starr. If Olajuwon doesn't get his fingertip on it, they might win in game six with one star, Patrick Ewing. He had them a powerhouse. Then he goes to Miami. He wins in Miami, and then he sets them up to win again and again. Like, Pat Riley wins everywhere.
I agree that he wins everywhere. I just 11 is a lot of championships, man. And you have three three-peats. Like, that almost deserves to be in the category by yourself. And I also understand Red Auerbach and the impression of the game with Bill Russell, coach, the times in Boston during those times.
I could see the argument.
But what if he didn't move around, though? What if Pat Riley just stayed in L.A.?
Pat may be so intense that as a coach, someone like Popovich maybe wears a little better over the long run.
No, I get it, but what if he'd have stayed in L.A.? He'd have got more chips in L.A.
So if you're ranking them, are you saying, all right, Phil Jackson 1, Red Auerbach 2, Pat Riley 3, Pop 4, and then Steve Kerr, like, getting into that 5? And
you know how does Larry Brown slide in there? I just come to think of it.
I mean, Larry Brown's top 10, top 15 to me. I mean, he's in that conversation.
He won largely.
You know, he won one, like, but like still, he made. It feel like there's certain coaches that made the most of what they had.
No, he did.
He didn't have the same kind of star.
But he won largely with what's his name's team with wound up coaching the Mavs. Carlisle. Right, Rick Carlisle really built that.
But he came in and got him over the hump.
He did, but he also got Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, like but he they, also, you know, I guess when you look at it, are you looking at the college game for him as well, Larry Brown? No, just the NBA?
NBA.
See, that's a little high for media, if we're talking only NBA.
But back to Steve Kerr, the interesting thing about Kerr is he has played and coached for Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich. Yeah. And I remember him talking about, maybe it was in an article or it was an interview, but how he took from both those guys. You know, like
this is his best coaching job as the Warriors head coach by far.
Probably.
It's not even close.
Unless you say 15 because they exploded in 15.
Yeah, but 15 was everything was new. Everything was new. He didn't have to really have no adversity, so to speak. They've had a little bit of adversity over the last couple years because players have been hurt. They had to get back to their mojo. Then all of a sudden, Steph Curry gets hurt. The lighter part of the year comes back. Then he has to manage Draymond Green in that situation. Then he has to make in-game decisions for the first time, we saw him make an in-game decision
yeah.
that's being talked about now.
Yeah, the Draymond Green thing. By the way, I love Casey Jones and Red Holtzman on the list, Jay. I'm glad you have him in
classics.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Classics. I mean, Lenny Wilkins, you can kind of throw him
that's
in that
who it was.
Too. Lenny Wilkins, you can
that's
throw
who
him
I,
the point
I,
of that. Yeah.
You, yeah. I knew it would be somebody. That, that's who it was. I couldn't think of it, but it was Lenny Wilkins.
A lot of wins, but not the same number of championships.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well,
right?
At one point in his career, didn't Lenny Wilkins lead the NBA in wins and losses? Like, he had the most wins all time and the most losses all time? Like, that's a crazy career.
And you know what's really funny? Just to go back to Steve Kerr really quickly, because I've heard a couple of people say this. Oh, you know, they almost hold it against him that he had to coach Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. And I'm like, knowing personality traits, managing personality with Draymond too, like that's a full-time gig, man. Like
that's
to get all those guys on the same page, that deserves a lot
of
praise to me.
That's a job in itself.
Man, yet alone X's and O's. And,
and I think that's why Phil Jackson is good. Not just, I mean, we look at same sort of thing with Steve Kerr. Oh, you got all these players. What is Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, blah, blah, blah. But he had to deal with Dennis Rodman. And you know, it's a lot of.
Yeah.
You
and
had
by
to
the
deal,
way.
You had to deal with Michael Jordan.
Another coach may have been like, Rodman, blah, blah, blah. But Phil Jackson's like, he needs to go. If he needs to go to Vegas, he needs to go to Vegas.
Come away, like, man.
Yeah, and ruined it, right? But Phil Jackson was not going
to. Phil, like, hey, go to Vegas, man. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Why don't you call a timeout? Why don't you do this and that? And Phil Jackson be saying, they're not babies. They got to figure this out, right? Like, he understood. Phil Jackson was sort of next level understanding team building. Once you got the guys out there, like how they come together as a unit.
So your only qualm is that you guys believe that Pat Riley should be in tier one.
Oh, absolutely. Or do
you, but you made a good case about why
mean,
maybe
if you're saying their levels to like.
But that, all I'm saying though, Jay, think about this for a minute though, Jay. You coming out of the stands.
I hear you. He's stuck in between for me. He's stuck right there in between because I do believe
he's in his own
Phil
tier.
Phil Jackson
maybe.
And Red Auerbach are like.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Some of us, Jay,
jeez,
had Jason Tatum in the top 10 current players. He's looking at me like, yeah, you, Max. Maybe, perhaps, but we're not talking about me right now, Jay. So what has gone wrong in the finals?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Out to the corner, Thompson, one dribble, fires for three, and crushes it from outside. That could be the dagger.
We have a chance. We got two cracks at getting one win.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It feels good, but we haven't done anything yet.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. So this was J. Will's list of best coaches ever. Yeah, tier one, Phil Jackson and Red Auerbach. And he had Pat Riley in tier two. But then after listening to me, said, Max, you are so wise in the ways of critical thinking.
Lies.
That I think I have to bump Pat Riley up. But Jay makes a good argument. Like, look, I list Pat Riley third. I'm going to draw a line between Red Auerbach and Pat Riley.
I wasn't born to see Red coach, so.
Pat Riley's in tier two with Greg Popovich. And then in tier three, he has Steve Kerr, Larry Brown, Chuck Daly, I assume in no particular order, Jones, Jerry Sloan, Red Holtzman, Eric Spoelstra, Lenny Wilkins. Our producer, Pat. Of Philadelphia. Philadelphia.
Mad
Pat.
About something.
Is he mad?
Oh, he's got some issue about someone. Go ahead. Who? Get Doc Rivers. Is it a Doc Rivers beef?
No, I just don't understand why you guys are like so casually putting Pat Riley in the top bucket when he just has five championships, which is great, but like 9 what? And 11 is so many championships. You could double Pat Riley's championships. He's still one short of Phil Jackson. I don't even know why you're putting them in the same conversation.
Well, first of all, Pat,
not that hard to understand.
He went to many championships. He lost a few. But he went to many.
In three different cities.
In three different cities.
So we're giving him credit for losing. Got it.
No. Okay, since you want to be a smart ass, LeBron James has gone to however many championships he's gone to, and we argue whether he's one or two all time.
Yeah.
As a player, based on his statistics, his play on the court, and the championships that he'd appeared in.
And he's won four.
And he's won. So you're sitting here getting ready to tell me a guy who literally comes out of the stands and takes a team to a championship and win. Oh, but he had Dwayne Wade and he had Shaq. That would be the next argument.
But Max,
seriously?
You do go into a rabbit hole in your argument on why MJ is by far the greatest because it's like this impeccable record. Phil Jackson's record is pretty kind of impeccable.
But I'm not arguing that Phil's not number one.
Phil
and Auerbach. I agree with you. Phil and Auerbach are 1 and 2.
Yeah, I wasn't born with
them. And my point is Pat Riley is there with them, even if you want to put him third. And the reason I have for that real quick is I'm not giving him credit for a Knicks championship. They didn't win it. But he took a franchise that hadn't sniffed the finals
it was a doormat.
In decades.
Yeah.
And when Pat Riley got there, they made the finals and were very competitive.
Yes.
And by the way, he did it with one star. They had one
Patrick
star on
Ewing,
the team.
That was it.
Then he goes to Miami.
This is how dumb the Knicks are. Just give this man a taste.
Dolan,
what are you doing?
I can't.
He is the culture. He's created the culture in South Beach that belongs in New York.
Right. It should be these.
I don't want to.
So he goes to Miami. Oh. Not only does he win it, but first of all, with Mourning and Tim Hardaway, they were getting knocked out early, but they were a powerhouse. They ran into better teams. This is what is what. Then he gets Wade and Shaq, wins another one, and then the fact is
coming out of the stands, Max.
Yeah, right. He didn't like the way things were going.
Looked up and said to himself, this dude getting ready to screw up what I built.
Yeah.
He comes out of the stands and coaches him to a championship.
To a chip.
That's huge.
Okay, and then after that, the big three in Miami, Spoelstra coached, and I'm not taking credit away from Spoelstra. What I'm saying is Spoelstra is so clearly a Pat Riley disciple do I think Pat Riley wouldn't have won championships with them? I think he would have. I think he had different things to do at the time.
So just like, I guess what you're saying there, Max, just like people bash Phil Jackson for his front office so-called expertise with the Knicks, you got to praise Pat Riley, is what you're saying, for everything he's doing from a front office standpoint.
But you can't move Pat Riley up a bucket for what he did in the front office.
Well, he has five chips.
Which puts him firmly in the second bucket with Greg Popovich, who also has five chips. What's crazy?
He lost two with the Lakers?
Let me look this up. Let me look this up.
And I feel like he always asks questions that forces us to do research. Well, because this is a radio show. It comes off the top of your dome.
Meantime, while Jay's looking this up, Dennis in Delaware has something to say.
Or does he not have something
to
say? Oh, there he goes.
I'm still here. I just don't think when you can't win a closeout game in the playoffs in game six, like they didn't do against Memphis, like they didn't do against Dallas, and they might not do tomorrow. I just can't put these coaches and players in the top 10. That's just my opinion. I mean,
wait, Steve Kerr can't be in the top 10 coaches? Steve Kerr can't be in the top 10 coaches?
No, you have to win closeout games on the road. They didn't do it against Memphis with John Morant. They didn't do it against Dallas.
So give me 10 coaches that have done that where Steve Kerr hasn't.
You're going to disqualify, Kerr and Steph Curry because they didn't close out in Memphis?
Yes, you do.
All you care is if you win the series. Come on, man. Dennis, come on.
No. Come on. Great coaches and great teams close out on the road, and they just haven't done
You're
it.
Making a opinion. subjective that, like, who cares how you win? You got the chip. That's not like someone got hurt and they were playing an inferior team. That's the 1-7 games instead of 6 and 5 instead of 4. Like, who cares how many games?
If they have a world championship, it's not matter. Like on their resume, they're going to be like, oh, they didn't close out Memphis on the road. It's going to say world champion.
You know, it does matter. Wait, Dennis, I take it back. It does matter. If you're comparing him to someone else, tell me 10 coaches who have as many championships as Steve Kerr and have done what you're asking, right? I'm not saying it doesn't matter if we're splitting hairs. I'm saying with Steve Kerr, it doesn't come down to hair splitting. He's top 10.
Dennis, do you have an answer to that?
Yeah, with that kind of talent, you have to win these games. Like,
Dennis.
Tell me 10 coaches. How many coaches does Kerr have now? Kerr has 15, 17, 18. So he's on 3. Tell me head coaches with minimum 3 championships who have done what you're asking and closed out on the road. Because if he's not top 10, I need 10 examples.
The only thing I could tell you is that when Keyshawn has a little gray hair on the side of his head, he looks like Denzel or Barack.
He does not look like Denzel Washington. Stop, Dennis, next caller.
That's Key's new favorite, and that favorite
is you,
caller.
That is you setting up a distraction because you didn't know the damn answer. Keyshawn looks like
Key. All of a sudden, like, maybe Kerr's not top 10.
Denzel Washington. Get the
Lee in Arkansas.
This man looks nothing like Denzel.
Lee, no, that's right. That would be you, right? Lee in Arkansas.
Yeah, I went with Steve Kerr, not in the top 10, because the first teams that won that championship, Mark Jackson put that together. And then Steve Kerr, you know, he just fell into a gold mine. He's a great coach now. Maybe he can win with his own players. But this thing is not over yet.
But they didn't have a top 10 offense when Steve Kerr took over. Like, he unlocked the offense.
And by the way, they never got over the hump. They never got over the hump when Mark Jackson was a coach. Then Steve Kerr got there. He made some twists in their lineups and some of their changes, and they started winning championships.
Yeah, you can give Mark Jackson credit without taking away credit from Steve Kerr.
Mark gets some credit on the first championship, no question about it.
By the way,
first, when he gets a little bit of credit because they worked to get it, but then Steve showed us after that, I can coach.
Joe Torre won 4 World Series with the Yankees. That's Buck Showalter's team that he took over. Yeah. Showalter's team. Torre took it over, won all the championships. And he's one of the greatest managers.
Yeah, that's it. Unlike when I won the championship, Super Bowl, Coach Tony Dungy built that organization and built the team. John Gruden came and won a championship after that. He did nothing else.
That's a bad example.
It's okay.
But I'm just saying, he showed that he couldn't coach.
It's okay, Denzel Washington. It's okay.
Man, stop, man. Don't fall into that trap, Jay, please. Because I almost said something but didn't say that.
We both almost said it at the same time.
Yes. You can only imagine.
Why do you say I look like Denzel Washington? We head to Cleveland. I'm handsome. Why not? We head to Cleveland to find out how the Browns are reacting to Deshaun Watson's latest comments at minicamp.
I just want to clear my name and be able to let the facts and the legal procedures play out.
It's just a massive cloud that is around them as a team, and I think it's deserving.
Most of the reaction from other teammates has been, you know, what I don't know won't hurt me.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speaker. We are joined now by Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter. Kimberly, welcome, as always. Kimberly, you were in Cleveland last time. Deshaun Watson said he didn't regret anything, and he was asked about whether he regretted anything, and here was his answer yesterday.
I never assaulted, disrespected, or harassed anyone, but at the same time, I do understand that I do have regrets as far as the impact that it has on the community and people outside of just myself. You know, and that includes my family, that includes this organization, that includes my teammates in this locker room that have to answer to these questions, that includes, you know, the fan base of the Cleveland Browns, that includes males, females, everyone across the world, you know. So that's one thing I do regret is the impact that it's have triggered on so many people. And, it's tough to have to, you know, deal with.
But as far as your actions, you don't have any regrets about anything that you've actually done?
No, like I said, I never assaulted anyone, or I never harassed anyone, or I never disrespected anyone, or I never forced anyone to do anything.
Your reaction, Kimberly, to that and to the press conference yesterday?
It struck me, Max, how different the environment was. I was here, as you mentioned, I was here in March for the intro, which was a very somber, quiet, tense situation, us asking questions about Deshaun while he's sitting right next to the GM, Andrew Berry, and the head coach, Kevin Stefanski. Yesterday, despite the fact that we have two more additional lawsuits, despite the number being up to 24, Deshaun seemed okay. He was smiling. He talked about going to the movies and a family of 30 bought him and his girlfriend popcorn and how he feels that he's been embraced by some people in the community and really embraced by the people in this building. They, regardless of what happened in the past with this Browns team, they are happy he is here. They believe in him as a person and a player. And despite everything that's happened, Deshaun wants to turn the page to football. And they're focusing on team building right now, Max. That is a big thing. Baker Mayfield no longer in the building. These guys are rallying around Deshaun Watson despite all the allegations and the lawsuits that he still has to deal with.
Kimberly, you're on the ground in Cleveland and been covering this story for quite some time. What is his teammates like? What are they saying? How are they feeling? Because you know how it goes. You say one thing to somebody else, and you say something to people that they really know, like yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We know how you players like to not tell us the truth. But I can tell you, I know the players in this locker room, they wanted a change at quarterback. The people in the front office wanted a change at quarterback. Deshaun or not, that was going to happen. Deshaun being here, The mood is light. We understand the allegations and the lawsuits, but this is a football move. Let's not confuse everything. This is a football move. He's a great player, which is why he is here. But they are happy that he's here. They think he's a good guy. Deshaun even said, they've asked me questions, and I freely answered those questions. And he feels very comfortable here, and he feels like he's been embraced by them and also a lot of people in the community. So it does speak. I know we're tired of talking about Baker Mayfield, but it does speak to the chaos that existed last year. The fact that guys are okay with Deshaun and everything that's happening, even though we have no resolution on it, they're good with him.
Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Kimberly, I am curious, internally the mood is light around Deshaun Watson. I wonder if that same mood is going to be as welcoming as it relates to the NFL and this suspension. What are you hearing around the team as it relates to what they expect the discipline of the NFL to be?
Now, let me clarify. When I say light, the team understands this is a significant, these lawsuits are significant, right? But a lot of information that's coming out that might be new to the public, the Browns feel like this is not new information. They have done their due diligence, which is why they feel confident in having Deshaun be the leader of this franchise. Now, they also know that a suspension is likely going to take place. They're not sure exactly when, but they expect something to come down soon. Before training camp is the expectation, because that's usually when the league hands out suspensions. But they are prepared for that. They knew that was a possibility, and they still felt comfortable giving him $230 million. Mm. Guaranteed.
Kimberly, we hadn't seen Deshaun on the field in, I don't know, over a year, clearly. And you've been there, and you got an opportunity to see him throw the ball around. What does he look like? Does he look like the Deshaun that we saw last in Houston, or he looks something different?
Well, again, it's minicamp. It was the first day of minicamp. They're not airing out bombs. It's not anything spectacular like you're going to see in a game, but before I even arrived in Berea, people I talked to, when I asked how does he look, they're like, he throws a pretty ball. Like, it's like the ball comes out quick. Like that, that is why he is here, guys. Let's make no mistake about it. He is here because he is a really good, great quarterback. And the practices, while he still has to develop chemistry with his teammates, the practices are, there's a different feel and a vibe here with Deshaun.
You made mention of Baker Mayfield a while back ago. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the team is with his future, or where are we in general with his future?
We are right back where we were. I mean, they want to move on. That we know this. The question is when. It's not a matter of if Baker Mayfield. He's not going to be on the team. The expectations, he will not be on the team this year. They want to move him. I would expect the two teams that we were always talking about, Carolina and Seattle, they have QB situations where you think, you know what, Baker could actually help their room. The question is, who wants to take on a good chunk of his salary? Will the Browns change course and take on a big chunk of his $19 million guaranteed salary? That remains to be seen. But I think training camp is really the inflection point. Will Baker walk in here because it's training camp and he should be here? Or will the Browns do what they did during minicamp and say, you know what? It's okay. Your excuse. You don't have to be here. That is what I'm waiting to see.
The great Kimberly A. Martin, ladies and gentlemen. As always, Kimberly, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Key, Kimberly brought up his teammates talking to Deshaun, and that's a point that you brought up earlier, that the way you would have handled it had you been his teammate is before you do anything, you talk to him.
Yeah, you have to, and that's important, and I'm glad Kimberly gave us that nugget that Deshaun had communicated with many of his teammates about what's going on with his civil case or what he was eventually cleared of in Houston. It's important because I need to know who I'm working alongside of.
Yeah,
I got, you know what I'm saying? I got to know what I'm dealing with as a teammate. You don't want to walk into a locker room and there's this weird feeling in a locker room, right? Where I can't look at you in the eyes from man to man and know who you are. If I got to question who you are, then I'm going to have a real issue with that. So I'm glad that his teammates, some of them, whoever they were, didn't have a problem talking to him. And I'm glad he didn't have a problem explaining his side of the story.
I have not had a chance to talk to Deshaun or David Mulgeta, his representation, about this, but I have spent time with him before in the past. And to me, Deshaun's always been a stand-up guy to me. Now, I don't know all this stuff, how it's affected. But, like, you know, if you're taking him for his word, if you're in that locker room, you really have no other choice.
I mean, it's interesting because when he started, there was like beef with him and the Texans. And I was saying on TV at the time, look, given Deshaun Watson's reputation at the time, given my dealing with him when he'd been on the show, you know, just in a professional capacity, I think if Deshaun Watson and the team is beefing, everyone's going to assume something wrong with the team because Deshaun Watson's reputation was sterling, right? He's the guy you wanted. But I have to say, just as an observer, while I understand there are no criminal charges and it's he said, she said, but it's he said and then she said 24 different she's yeah. are saying it. And so I can't turn my judgmental part of my brain off. You know, even if there's a presumption of innocence legally, I'm like, hold on. 24 people are saying basically the same thing, dude. So if I were his teammate, even if I looked him in the eye and he gave me some satisfaction in that way, I still would have a hard time turning that part of my brain off.
Still, it's going to always be in the back of your mind. There's no question about it. But at least you could have some comfort that he came to you when you asked him whatever questions you wanted to ask him.
Yep.
Whatever you sat down and chopped it up with him, he answered those questions. And you could look at it and say, okay, well, he told me some things, maybe not all things, but he told me some stuff. And that's important. Communication is very important. And you mentioned in Houston and the team might be mad at him. I remember, and you remember this, Jay, Rick Smith, the former general manager who drafted Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans, went on our show before you joined, Max. And when Deshaun made the decision, this was before anything happened, when Deshaun made the decision to want to leave the Texans, he was on our show. And I asked him, I said, when will the time come that somebody is going to try to create a problem for him and create noise around him and this, that, and the other? And literally, like, was it within a week or two maybe, this stuff happened? Because you could see, you know, I just know how things go, man, when organizations and players are at, you know, odds, things start to come to the surface.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Don't understand the guys that are a similar age to me going.
My heart is with the PGA Tour.
I think it kind of sucks too. Y'all are throwing this black cloud over the U.S. Open.
If money ain't the big thing and it's all about legacy, cool. Go to the gas station and see how much gas you can get on legacy.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and we are joined now by America's caddy, Michael Collins, ESPN MC. Golf analyst. What's going on, Michael?
What up, baby?
What's up? What's up? Key, man, you look like if Denzel and Larry Johnson's grandma had a baby, man. You look just, I see Key, and I want to just go,
Denzel Johnson.
Let me tell you, hey, the mic drop moment of my life was when I met Denzel earlier this summer at the Boys and Girls Club. I got inducted into the Boys and Girls Club Hall of Fame. And when he came out and he looked at me and he goes, "My man, when you go with Stephen A. Smith, man, I like that." And I was just like, "Ah!" I turned into
you
a,
say,
I went fanboy crazy.
Yeah,
so hey, that's a compliment.
Denzel, my man.
Hey, that's a compliment. You look like Denzel a little.
My man.
My man.
So
my man.
Let's listen real quick to what Rory McIlroy had to say about the whole, you know, the golfers who went to play in the LIV term, and I want you to react to this.
No, I understand. Yes, because a lot of these guys are, you know, in their late 40s or, you know, in Phil's case, you know, early 50s, and yeah, I think everyone in this room and they would say to you themselves that their best days are behind them, and that's why I don't understand for the guys that are a similar age to me going, because I would like to believe that my best days are still ahead of me, and I think theirs are too. So that's where it feels like you're taking the easy way out.
Michael, what do you think about what Rory said about, you know, the players who are over the hill are the ones joining the LIV tournament?
But that's not true. That it's not just the players that are over the hill. You know, I literally just saw Rory tee off early, and I love the guy to death. But, you know, it's very easy for the guy who already got a $100 million contract with Nike to then tell other people, "Hey, why are you just chasing the money? Like, hey, what are you doing? You shouldn't be.
Got it.
You should be over here." But like, yeah, like you already got your money. Well, now, but you're now telling people who don't have the money, "Don't go get yours, though. Like, you stay here and play with us." Like, that's a little bit of talk out of both sides of your mouth. And for those younger guys, like, there's guys. Here's a great example. So Q School, qualifying school, was $3,000, and it used to get you a chance to play on the PGA Tour. Now it doesn't. It only gets you onto the Korn Ferry Tour, where instead of playing for $1 million a week, you're playing for hundreds of thousands of dollars a week. It's $6,500 just to pay an entry fee. That doesn't count travel, hotels, food, rental cars. You got to make it through 3 weeks of that. And then the first two tournaments are in the Bahamas. Can't drive there. Where are the tournaments after that? Venezuela and Panama. They're real cheap and easy to get to. So you're telling all these young dudes, "Hey, man, you don't need to take the money. Come over here. This is where the competition is. It's all about your legacy." Cool. Legacy is not buying my plane ticket, man. So the last time I checked, I haven't seen Rory making any donations to those young dudes that are out there struggling trying to get on the Korn Ferry Tour. Like, if you want to do that, John Rahm did the same thing. John Rahm's like, "Hey, man, it's not about the money. It's about the legacy." All right, cool. So you're not taking a paycheck this week. Like, no-cut events don't count. All right, cool. So you're never playing a no-cut event anymore? Okay. All right. Cool. Second FedEx Cup event and the Tour Championship. You ain't playing because they not real because it's no cut event? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right.
MC, let's talk about a guy that did get the bag and $200 million in Phil Mickelson. I am curious hearing what players on the PGA Tour are saying compared to what players have to deal with on the LIV Tour. How do you feel Phil Mickelson handled a lot of the questions around where the money was coming from in which he was accepting from the Saudis and things that have happened on, to this country about around 9/11?
I mean, let's be honest. Phil looked like a dude who knew he was going up to that podium to take the hit. And that's what he did. He took the hit basically for all of those dudes that are over there on the LIV Tour because he is the most famous and the most well-known of all the golfers over there. And that was the most measured that I think I've ever seen Phil in a press conference. And he took a lot of time to answer those questions because he had to be so measured. Because and I asked someone on my radio show later on after the press conference, hey, man, was there anything Phil could have said that would have made you feel okay? And no was the answer for everybody. So he was basically just standing up there taking the hit for everybody and watching and having everybody pretty much attack him by the end. And this is a guy who just told us that he was in therapy trying to be a better person.
Mm. Michael Collins, ESPN golf analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mike, how you think the guys will play in the LIV tournament this week?
That's the $100 million question. Is after everything that happened over there, now that they come over here, are they going to be tuned up enough? And I expect maybe one or two of them to play really well, but I think it's going to be a struggle for most of them.
Michael, we have about 30 seconds. Who's going to win the U.S. Open?
I really like Sam Burns this week. He's on a little bit of a heater, you know, and he's won a bunch already this year. And he's just is playing good golf right now. And this is one of those tests where if he can find a lot of fairways and give himself birdie opportunities, even though he's not going to make a lot of them, finding fairways here this week really matters.
Really smart golf guy told me keep my eye on Will Zalatoris, too. I don't know if you know the guy. Goes by the name Michael Collins.
That's my sleeper.
Thank you, Michael, as always. Michael Collins, ladies and gentlemen. When I want to hear something about golf, that's who I'm listening to. Thanks, Michael. Right, tour guide, key, and the key to getting Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown going next, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.